Thank you so much. You can be seated. Thank you. What a great looking crowd this morning. It's just a privilege to be at Three Trees again. As Pastor Jason mentioned, we've been traveling down this road together for many years, and it's always a treat for my wife and I to be here with you today. I want to share something with you today. 1 Corinthians 13:13. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture, but this is something that's been on my heart. It's been resonating in my heart for the last few weeks, and I've been walking with the Lord now for 48 years, and so the great thing about God is the longer you walk with Him, the more you discover there is to find out about God and to God to be revealed to you. And although this may be a scripture that's well known and many of us can quote it, but the writer said, "And now abides faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love." Now let me give you some foundation for this message. This is not the first time I shared this with our church, because like I say, it's a relevant word for me right now. It says, spending some time in prayer with the Lord, and just, you know, I'm not saying that to sound spiritual. I'm just, you know, I'm a pastor. I do pray. And so I was just spending some time with the Lord, and I heard these words, and I hope that they speak to you as we go through this message this morning. And that is this: Roy, it's not about trying harder. It's about loving deeper. And I don't know, that may not, but it shook me. I had to stop and think about that. And I thought, man, that would be great for this message Sunday morning. And so I got up and preached that Sunday morning. And if you've ever done any public speaking, you sometimes walk off the platform and you drive away and you think, I didn't say that. I had it. Oh, I mean, I was going. And then I realized something. The Lord didn't want me just to have it as a bullet point. He wanted it to be a message. Because so many people are desperately trying harder instead of learning the secret of loving deeper. I want you to think about this. Ed Cole, he was a well-known minister, a men's minister several years ago. Some of you may remember Dr. Cole. But he made this statement. He said, "You'll never make up by sacrifice what you lose through disobedience." Meaning, it's not about trying harder. It's about learning to love deeper. I'm going to say that several times this morning. So the text tells us that faith, hope, and love presently exist, but without doubt, love is the greatest. Why is that? Because without love, faith can be misappropriated. Without love, hope can be misdirected. In fact, Jesus said the qualifying proof that we are truly a disciple of His is that we love one another. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. But He also instructed us that commandment keeping is not about trying harder. It's about loving deeper. Because He says, when He asked, what is the greatest commandment? He responded, love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And then He goes on to say, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I don't say this in an egotistical way, but I need to love God, but also need to love myself in God so that I can adequately love others. So what Jesus was saying is, this thing about commandment keeping is about loving God, loving deeper. In fact, the Apostle Paul said this, that love is the fulfillment of all the law. What's he saying? If I truly love you, I won't steal what's yours. If I truly love you with all my heart, I'm not going to covet what's yours. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to dishonor you. In fact, if I truly love you, I'm going to choose your highest good every time at the expense of myself, because that's what love is. So bottom line is this: my interaction with Him and others is founded, is birthed, but it's also maintained in learning how to love. We go all the way back to garden to learn this scenario, because the first thing man did when he broke the commandment of God, when he went against what God said, when he sinned, when he fell, the first thing he did was he ran from God. So many people run from God because they tried harder without learning the secret of loving deeper. And when he went and hid from God. It says that he took an animal and he made skin from an animal's skin for himself. In other words, when people don't know how to love deeper, they try to work to make up. And a lot of people's religion is just simply about trying harder, but they find out it becomes very frustrating. I do things for my wife because I love her. I'm not afraid of her. She's just 5 foot tall. I mean, you know, but I love her. Just recently she said, honey, I want to buy an old house. And I did, because I love her. And it required some sacrifice. But it's well worth the sacrifice to watch her walk through the house and say, oh, I love this house. I love this house. See, there's something about loving deeper. It's not about fear. It's not about being motivated by a desire to fulfill rituals. It's about just loving God, falling in love with God. And when I think about that, I think about the Song of Solomon. I'm going to share about 5 scriptures out of the Song of Solomon with you in this context, because I want you to understand that this book actually is an illustration. I know it's talking about the Shulamite, and I know it's talking about Solomon. I know it's talking about the lover and the beloved. I understand all that. But it's also an illustration of Christ's love for the church and the love of the church for Christ. Because we do understand, don't we, that we'll never truly love God until we experience the love of God. That's worth writing down. You'll never truly experience the love of God until you know the love of God. Why? Because the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. And so when we begin to look at the Song of Solomon, man, it's this book shows the motive of the pursuer. And this is a book about her pursuing her love. And in this book, we discover that that motive of the lover of the beloved and the driving force behind her pursuit was not trying harder, but because she had a deep love, loving deeper. But and note what she says when it comes to the love of her beloved. It says in Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Because of the fragrance of your good ointments, your name is ointment poured forth. Therefore, the virgins love you. Draw me away, and we will run after you. It's very obvious that love is what motivates us to draw after him. Now, I know sometimes we get in a difficult time. All of us face difficult times. And it seems to me that sometimes when people get really in difficult times and get their back against the wall and they must have God, then they'll pursue God based out of need. But we don't see this here. What we see here is the proper motive for seeking God. Now, don't misunderstand me. If your back is against the wall, the smartest thing you can do is pursue God. But you need to have the proper motive in pursuing God. And pursuing God requires an understanding of loving him. So it's very obvious that love is what draws us to run after him, to pursue him. It's not running or trying harder. No, the pursuit results from loving deeper. Now, I'm going to say this. Sometimes loving, and I'll come back to this, but sometimes loving deeper looks like trying harder. Well, just think about it. Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 4 and 5 says, he brought me to the banqueting house and his banner over me was love. Sustain me with cakes of raisins. Refresh me with apples. Now, he brought me to the banqueting house. His banner over me was love. He's sustaining me with his provision. And then she says, for I am lovesick. Wow. I guess my heart for the American church is to move away from being so narcissistic and thinking everything's about us. And realize it's not about us, it's about him. Amen. And we need to understand this. We don't come to church just out of ritual. We come to church because we're in love.
We're in love.
You want to shake somebody up, guys? Just tell people you fell in love with a man. And his name is Jesus. And he's redeemed you from all your sin. Isn't that incredible? Think about what he's done for you. How can you just settle for going through the motions when you could be lovesick? Have you ever seen anybody lovesick? I mean, I've told this story before, but you watch young people that are dating, and they get on the phone to their significant other, you know, and the parents walk through and they're looking at them. They just got the phone to their ear. They're not saying anything. Mama walks through, and she comes back through 10 minutes later, and there's nothing said, and she's just still holding the phone. And she said, "Are you talking?" "Yes." "Who are you talking to?" "Him." "Talking to him. Is he saying anything?" "No." "Then why are you spending so much time on the phone?" She said, "I can hear him breathe." I have me know we thought that's puppy love, right? But it was real to them at that moment, right? Wouldn't it be something in our Christian relationship that if we just spent time in the presence of God, with him not saying anything, us not saying anything, with us just saying, "But I can hear him breathe." Hallelujah. Praise God. There needs to be a revival of love sickness in the American church, where it places him at the center and not us. It's not merely trying harder, children. It's loving deeper. Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 10 said, "My beloved spoke and said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." Now, how many know that if you want to talk about sanctification, that's a $2 word, which means being set apart for the purposes of God. And this is about the purposes of God. But if you want to talk about sanctification, you can read where Paul says, "Come out from among them and be separate," which is true. It's the word of God. We need to do that. But what should be the motivation that brings us out? See, we get into the mode of trying harder to be sanctified and separate and set apart. But here she reveals a key principle in sanctification, and it's this, that when love speaks, the pursuit is initiated. And it's not a matter of thinking, "I've got to be separate." No, you're in such a pursuit out of love for him, things just start falling off because of the love relationship that you have with him. Now let's go on. Song of Solomon chapter 3 verse 1 through 4. I probably shouldn't have told you I had 5. Some of you are counting. Bless your heart. I love you. "By night on my bed, I sought the one I love. I sought him, but I did not find him. I will rise now, I said, and go about the city in the streets and in the squares. I will seek the one I love. I sought him, but I did not find him. The watchmen who go about the city found me. I said, have you seen the one I love? Scarcely had I passed by them when I found the one I loved." She would later say, "I held on to him and I would not let him go." Why? Because loving deeper will push you out of your comfort zone. I was trying to find him in the comfort of my bed, but I did not find him there. So love propelled me to actively pursue him. That's why I said earlier that sometimes loving deeper looks like trying harder to the untrained eye of those who are not lovesick. But when you really love him, the pursuit is not something just trying harder. No, it's a pursuit of embracing him who loves you. So she said, "I'm going to get out of my comfort zone." Love holds and will not let him go for anyone else. Song of Solomon chapter 8 verse 5. I love this scripture. This is one of my favorite scriptures. I have a lot of favorite scriptures, but this is one of my favorite because this shows the results of loving deeper instead of trying harder. I hope this is resonating with someone in this house today. I hope that someone here who possibly has fallen into the trap of just, "I got to do more. I got to try hard. I got to." No, you'll accomplish more by loving deeper than you will by trying harder. And so it says in Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 5, "Who is this coming up from the wilderness?" And then it says this, leaning on her beloved. There's something about the pursuit of love. There's something about loving deeper, because we all go through wilderness times. It's a cycle. I mean, I've been doing this. I've been walking with the Lord, like I said earlier, for 48 years. I want you to know that there are cycles in life. And sometimes you're either going through a wilderness, or you're coming out of a wilderness, or you're entering into another wilderness. How many know what I'm talking about? And by wilderness, I'm talking about trials and difficulties that you have to face. But isn't it wonderful to know that when you pursue Him, even in the difficult times, out of the motive of love, what you discover is those words that Jesus said, all you that labor and heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. Loving Him deeper results in the ability to face those wildernesses, walk through those wildernesses, and when you come out, you're not walking in your own strength. No, you're putting your full weight on your beloved. You're leaning on the beloved. One more. Song of Solomon chapter 8 verse 6 and 7 says, set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. I love this. For love is as strong as death, jealousy as cruel as the grave. Its flames are flames of fire, a most vehement flame. Many waters, many storms, many difficulties, many trials cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. If a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised. Why is it that we need to learn this principle of loving deeper instead of trying harder? It's because love is stronger than anything. Love is stronger than death. We learn here that love is the fire of our passion. I mean, you remember the scripture in Revelation where Jesus speaks to a church and he says, you're lukewarm. He said, I would that you were hot or cold. That's always puzzled me, but I guess what he's saying is, I wish you were either hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. I say what we need to do is be hot, and the only way that we can do that is to have the vehement fire of the passion of God tattooed in our hearts where we pursue Him for no other reason than, I love you. I love you. I'm feeling prompted to do something really strange right now, so just bear with me. And some of you won't, but some of you will. If you will, I just want you to lift your hands with me right now, and I just want you to say to the Lord, I love you. Isn't that something? How many just, you don't have to, this is not for validation, but how many right now would say that I just sense the presence of God? Amen? Now, you want to go a step further and really get strange? How many would be stretched? Won't be stretched this morning. Are you ready for this? We told Him we love Him. I want you to take your hand, put it to your mouth. Would you do that? Just take your hand, put it in your mouth, and just blow Him a kiss. Because it's about loving Him deeper, not trying harder. All your effort is futile in comparison with love. Love is the fire of our passion, and nothing can quench that flame. Now, I'm getting ready to close. Now, that don't mean I'm closing. It just means I'm getting ready to close. Strange thing happens in John 21. Jesus has been crucified and resurrected, and He's now with the disciples. He's revealed Himself to them. They're having a meal. And He asked the Apostle Peter this very probing question. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Now, when he said more than these, I know the people were there with them, but I think it was more inclusive than that. I think it was more than just these people here. I think, do you love me more than this? Do you love me more than anything? And that's a very probing question. I think probably needs to be asked. I really feel like the Lord needs to ask me that personally occasionally. Roy, do you love me more than these? Come on now. He asked Peter this three times. I think it's interesting to note that the Apostle Peter denied the Lord three times. And Jesus asked him this question three times. We'll come back to this in just a moment, but he asked him this question three times. And in each time, after asking the question, he would say to the Apostle Peter, either feed my lambs or tend my sheep or feed my lambs. And what he was saying is, your purpose is fulfilled through the revelation of my love. Your purpose is fulfilled through the... I'm asking you if you love me, and if you love me, then you can fulfill your purpose by tending my sheep and feeding my sheep. Now, when we look at this, we think about it. I hope we can see this divine connection of realizing that we will only fill our purpose by loving him. Love me, Jesus said, love me, and you will effectively serve others. Because agape love is sacrificial. Now, there's an interesting play on words here. And if you don't look at it in the Greek, you'll miss it, because it's translated just one word in our language, love. But what the Apostle Peter is answering is a question from Jesus, and Jesus asking this question. Here it is. Peter, do you agape me? That's what he's asking. Do you agape me? That is the God kind of love. That's the highest form of love. Peter responds. If you look at this in the Greek, you'll find Peter responds by saying, Lord, you know I filio you. Yeah. I mean, that's not what he asked. But this is what the Apostle Peter answered. I filio you. Filio, well, that's brotherly love. That's where we get our word for the city Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Lord, you know I love you like a brother, but come on, let's not be too hard on him, because he just denied him three times. And he's probably not feeling worthy to say agape. The second time Jesus asked, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter said, Lord, you know I filio you. And with each time, again, he reminds him of his purpose. But something happens a third time that's unique, and that is this. The third time Jesus asked him, he doesn't say, Peter, do you agape me? What he says is this. Peter, do you filio me? Wow. Peter couldn't answer that he agaped Christ because of his sense of failure. So what did Jesus do? He didn't just keep hounding him about coming up to agape. No, he went to where Peter was so Peter could discover where he could go. I'm sorry, that should have been a shout. Sometimes you and I, we know God loves us, but sometimes we've just blown it and we don't feel worthy of his love. And the enemy uses that to try to prevent us from loving deeper. In essence, the answer is loving deeper in order to fulfill your purpose. And every one of us have a purpose, and every one of us have a destiny. But trust me, you're not going to get there just because you work harder. You're going to get there because you love deeper. And because you love deeper, to those who have an untrained eye of a lovesick heart, if they don't understand a lovesick heart, they'll think you're really working hard when actually you're not. You're just expressing your love that you love him deeper. Yeah. I hope I make sense this morning. See, we learned something from the Apostle Peter. When we try harder, we may be tempted to think we know better than God. Only to discover that that Satan put that thought in our mind. Remember when Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said all these different things. And then he got direct. How many know Jesus has the way of getting direct with us? And so he got direct, and he looked at him and said, "But who do you say that I am? I hear what you say, other people say, but it comes down to a personal revelation. Who do you say that I am?" And the Apostle Peter, of course, we know that he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the Living God." Wow! And I just want to clap my hands because he finally got one right. Yeah. Amen. And Jesus said, you're right. And upon this, your rock now, you're Petros. And upon this rock, I will build my church. And people erroneously thought that he was going to build the church on the Apostle Peter, which is not true. What he was building the church on was on the confession of the Apostle Peter, which is, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He got that right. And then Jesus in his discourse goes on and say, and I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to be betrayed, and I'm going to be... And the Apostle Peter says, be it far from you. Now, the same one who just got a commendation is now thinking, I got one right. Man, I'm on a roll. Yeah. Now he's thinking he knows more than Jesus. No, you're not going to do that. No, no. And Jesus had to say, don't get behind me, Peter. Get behind me, Satan. For you savor not the things of God, but of man. Wow. See, when you're trying harder, sometimes you think you can get ahead of God and you know more than God. But loving deeper will give a revelation of who he is.
That's right.
See, the problem is, I hope y'all love me when I get done, but I've got to tell the truth. The problem is, the Marthas in the church haven't discovered the blessing of the Marys.
Yeah.
You say, well, Mary didn't do anything. You didn't give her an opportunity. See, what Martha's doing, Martha's busy preparing something for the Lord that, look, are you ready for this? That he never asked for. Where's Mary? Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Why? Because she's in love. And because she's loving deeper, she's put herself in the position of immediate obedience. She can hear what he wants and give and prepare that which he wanted because she had an ear to listen. Why? She positioned herself in the position of lovesickness. I hope somebody gets lovesick today. I hope somebody gets lovesick. They say when we try harder, we try to defend God's honor by cutting off people's ears. Oh, me. I don't know, I guess because I'm getting older. They say when you get older, you're supposed to get wiser. I've met some that's... I've learned I don't have to enter in every battle. And I've learned this. God's big enough to defend himself. And usually when you try harder, you end up injuring people rather than healing people. But when you love deeper, you're choosing for their highest good. See, this might be a word for somebody. Put your sword up. Okay, I just want to tell you that. When we try harder, we may find that we fail more often and have the potential of actually denying him. Peter tried harder, but he denied him 3 times. And Jesus' response to every denial was a revelation of love. I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning, but somebody, I feel the Holy Spirit prompted me to say this. Somebody either online or in this room. You've discovered something about yourself that you thought was gone a long time ago, and now you're really frustrated and upset that it manifested. You blew it. You really don't feel worthy of God's love, so you're just trying harder. I want you to understand, for every failure you have, trying harder is not the answer. It's loving deeper and allowing the love of God to change your heart. For every denial, there's a love of God that can overcome that denial and put you on the track of your purpose. And even if you don't feel worthy this morning, know this, Jesus is still saying, if all you can say is, I filio you, Jesus, Jesus is saying, you know what? I filio you too. And I'm going to love you with filio love until I can raise you up to agape love. And you understand, stop trying harder. Does that mean we won't do anything? Of course not. That's not the thrust of this message. Come on. I done said earlier that if you have the untrained eye of not being lovesick, you may look at people that are lovesick and they're doing a lot for the kingdom of God, but it's out of the right motive, and it's not wearing them out, and it's not frustrating them, and it's not putting their nerves on edge because they're doing it out of the right motive. I just came up here today to try to share with you the same thing the Lord Jesus was trying to teach the Apostle Peter. It's not trying harder. The answer is loving deeper. For when we love deeper, we will serve His purpose for our lives more effectively. Would you stand with me this morning, please? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for this message. Lord, I thank you, Father, that the world, I know, is far too narcissistic. But I also know, unfortunately, that sometimes there's a percentage of the church that's far too narcissistic. Where we think it's just about us all the time. But the real secret in loving ourselves is not an ego trip. It's about loving you. Because we can only discover who we are when we discover who you are. We can only experience your love. We can only reciprocate your love when we've received your love. And so, Lord, I pray for this house today and those who are watching online. I pray, Father God, that this simple message would touch our hearts. Like a light bulb going off and saying, I get it, I get it, I see now. It doesn't mean I won't be doing stuff. It means I'll be doing stuff for the right reason. I'm not doing stuff to be accepted in the Beloved. I'm doing stuff because I am accepted in the Beloved. And I'm flowing out of the revelation of love. Now, wave your heads back.